Well, it's a great privilege for me to be in your midst and privilege to come and share God's word as well as the ministry in India. And I can say that, you know, getting into the ministry was not my first choice. And many a times people ask, how did you, as being a physician, get into the ministry? As I go to different churches, when they find out that I'm a medical doctor, they say, so you're a medical doctor, but what are you doing in India? And I have to explain my story, so I'll do that here this morning. Tell you exactly how I got into the ministry, how the Lord led me to work at the Berean Baptist Bible College. And as you know, my father has spoken here many a times, and he was getting sick, and then he was never asked me to come and help him in the ministry. But as I grew up in the Christian home, and I saw what my father was going through many a times, the persecution that he had, and the people, the accusations, and the government officials coming and questioning my father many a times about a lot of things. And I said, I don't need all this. I really don't need to get into the ministry to face all these difficulties. And I had the opportunity to come to Bob Jones University. And I studied there. And as I went through the university, my father never forced me into the ministry. But eventually, I went to medical school. And in my third year of medical school, you know, I was under the impression, well, now that I'm in medical school, God's brought me this far. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to take care of what I need to take care of and enjoy the American dream like many people did. I saw America when I grew up. We didn't have TV in my home. Or we didn't have a lot of things that we have today. But today, India has changed quite a bit. But when I was growing up, we never did. I never saw it. So I enjoyed a lot of things America would offer. And as I was thinking about all those things in the year of 1989, June 19th, I can remember that night, the Lord really got my attention. And many times I realized you can run from God, but God will find you eventually. You know, and so I was in that night, I used to work for United Parcel Service in the evenings after my training in the hospital. And as my sister also, who was a physician now, was also with me. And that was the night I remember that Nelson Mandela had come to the United States for the first time. We were watching the news. I had to go pick up my sister, which I did that night. And I lived in the city of Chicago. And as I drove to pick up my sister, I came to an intersection on a side street of Chicago. And I stopped and I proceeded. I heard like a fireworks go off. And later I looked at my passenger side window of my car. It was all shattered. I felt like somebody with a baseball bat hit me on my back. And then I realized a few minutes later that I was in a lot of excruciating pain and that I couldn't move my right arm. And I realized later on that I'm starting to feel warm blood go down my back. And I realized that I was shot that night. And I drove myself to the emergency room and I walked in, and my sister met me there and some of my colleagues from school. And the emergency doctor, he looked at me, he said, how did you get shot? You know, and as I lay on that night waiting for surgery the next morning, I realized how close I was to death. I said, if the bullet had gone either 1 inch up or down, I wouldn't be standing here today, friends, to share God's word. And that was the night that I said, Lord, whatever you have want me to do, I will do. And I surrendered my life. And all the things that the parable of the rich man came to my mind. You know, the rich man said, you can build barns and build everything, eat, enjoy, and be merry. You know, and then that night the Lord comes and tells him, thou fool, today your soul is required. And that night I realized God was speaking to me, and I surrendered my life. It was in the year 2000. I was in my final year of residency training as a family physician. My father was in Boston, and I was at that church just last week, and the home he was staying, he showed me how my father fell and injured himself, and he had to come back to Chicago. He had come to Flint, Michigan, where I was training. And after we took him to the hospital and checked him all out, it was that evening he asked me, "Son, I've never asked you to come into the ministry to help, but I need some help." And that night I said, "Dad, we'll be happy to come and help you in the ministry." It was in 2000. And so we discussed and talked to him. And then in the year 2001, when I finished my residency program, I left for India to help my father. And what a privilege it was to work with him for the 4 years that he was there with me. Many a times, my father and me are alike, and we saw things a little bit differently. But, you know, he was a great man of God, and we really miss him. And we thank you for your church that has been faithfully supporting the ministry in India. And we thank you for your prayers and your financial support. And it's because of God's people that we can say the ministry of India continues to grow. And I'll show you the video. You will see how God has blessed this ministry for the last 50 years. In the year this year of 2006, we'll be celebrating 50 years of the ministry of the Berean Baptist Bible College. And we want to praise God for how He has provided and how many graduates have graduated from this institution and gone and started other Bible colleges, other churches in different parts of India, Nepal, as well as Burma, and even in Thailand, and also some in Nigeria. So we want to praise God for how He has used the Berean Baptist Bible College, how He has used my father. And do continue to pray for me and my wife and family, and my brother also, who is working with us at the Bible College, his wife and daughter, that you continue to uphold us in your prayers. India is a needy land, has over 1 billion people, and the economy is changing in India. Economists say that by 2020, India should be one of the three major economic powers of the world. So we are changing quite rapidly, and the people of India are changing too. So pray that we'll be able to reach the people of India. Otherwise, if we do not get them now, we'll go the way of Japan did with materialism, and it will be very difficult to reach them. So pray that God will enable us to reach out to the young people. Many of them are computer software engineers and in a lot of technology department working. Many of you have called for help with Dell computers or AOL. You probably will be talking to people in India. You know, so I even with the United Airlines, I tried to change my ticket. I was talking to somebody in Bombay, and she couldn't do any help for me. You know, so that's how the world is. It's become a small place. So pray that we'll be able to reach India for Christ. Pray for the ministry of the Bible College. The video I'm going to show you is mostly, it tells you about the ministry, as well as we are raising funds, as you know, for the dining hall project and dormitory space. And that's what you'll be seeing on the video. And we're trying to raise, by God's grace, we have completed three roofs, the basement, the first and second floor. We got two more roofs to go. And we are praying that God will bring in the funds so we can finish this building and have it dedicated next year for the 50th anniversary. Please pray that God will enable us to finish this building. It's a great challenge for us, but God can do it. Amen? And God can do it. And so pray that we'll be able to finish this building and be able to dedicate it for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This year we have enrolled over 500 students, 578, I think, is the accurate number of students enrolled at the Bible College. We do have the orphanages and all. I won't take much time. How much time do I have, Pastor? You told the physician the wrong thing, you know. You guys will be waiting. You know how long you wait at the physician's office, right? So, well, now I'll try to get done. We got a lot. So just pray for us. Pray for India, that's a land that needs the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 billion people. And we have our work cut out. I'll show the video. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer afterwards and tell you more about the ministry. If you have any questions, if anybody wants to come and help us out, we're looking for some music teachers who would like to come and help us out in the music ministry. We'll be happy to have you just pay your fares and come there. We'll take care of the food and lodging. Come help us there and see what God is doing in the land of India. But we want to praise God that God has helped us to accomplish a lot at the Berean Baptist Bible College through God's faithful people who have been giving for the ministry. As you've seen, many of the buildings that have been built there are all been paid for. We don't owe anything on any of those buildings. And we praise God for that, that God's people enabled. My father was a man of faith. He always said, if God's in it, He'll bring the money for it and He will complete the task. And we praise God that He walked by faith. He showed us, and He lived by faith, my father, and He showed how to live by faith. And we try to do the same thing, try to walk by faith and live, and pray that we'll be able to finish this. You know, some pastors had come 2 years ago, and we're talking how much it cost to train one young man. And my father and I, we said it would cost us about $50 per month. And for in 4 years, it will cost them about $2,500. We train one missionary, one student, and they're out on the field. And he was a businessman, one of the pastors, so he started calculating. He said, to put one American missionary on the field, it will cost between $150,000 to $200,000, and it will take at least 10 years before they can get onto the field. And so he said, it's a great investment to invest in these young students where we cannot go. Some of us cannot go to some of these areas, but these young people are able to go. So pray as we train these people to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them, to the people of India, Nepal, Thailand, and Burma. And many a times I've been to some of these areas. It's very difficult to get to some of these villages. There's no roads. There's no bus transportation. People walk by foot to get to these villages. One of our pastors in Nepal, in Kathmandu, I visited him a year ago, and he said, sir, if I have to go to my village, it will take me 3 weeks because I have to go by bus and then I have to walk in the jungle of the mountains to reach my village to just go see my parents. And he came to the Bible college, studied, and now he has a church of about 100 people in the capital city of Nepal, Kathmandu. So we see how the young people are laboring for the Lord Jesus Christ there in the land of India. So continue to pray for us that God will enable us to keep us faithful, to train young people, just not only in the printing ministry, in the Bible college, but also in the printing ministry, the jail ministry, which is a great avenue for us to reach a lot of these people who have been lost, some of the prisoners who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And through them, we are able to even do a medical camp. One of the prisoners got saved and he said, I want you to take the gospel to my village in India, in Bangalore city. And so we found out where his village was, and we did go. And we spent on Saturday there, and we canvassed that village. And one lady got saved through that medical camp. And what a great privilege it was for me to go there to see over 40 or 50 patients that morning, and to see young children come and hear the gospel, and they learn some songs that our students taught them, and it was a great avenue to reach the lost for Christ. So continue to pray through the medical ministry, through the jail ministry, and the printing ministry, that we will be able to reach the people the people with the gospel for the Lord Jesus Christ, and also for our orphanage and school ministries that we'll continue there, that God will enable us to meet these needs, and that people will get saved. That is my burden for India, is that all India should come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our goal and desire. So continue to pray. It was a great pleasure. One of our students who graduated from the Bible college and now is in Burma. His name is Brother Paul, a man who was imprisoned and persecuted by the Burmese army. Now he has 14 pastors working with him and started 14 churches. Amen. In the land of Burma. So continue to pray for these students who have been persecuted, some of them, put in prison. And you should hear some of his stories. It just thrills my heart. And I don't have time to go into all that. But pray that we'll be able to continue the ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll win souls for Him. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'll take a few moments to share God's Word from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2, our time is going. I'll try to finish soon. I won't be a physician making you wait too long in our... It's about the Christian race. And as we notice, you know, Paul always used a lot of athletes examples in Scripture. And as we come to this chapter of Hebrews, chapter 12, he talks about running a race. And in verses Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we meditate upon your word for a few moments, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. O Lord, and help us to see that we are in a race that we need to run till you call us home. And O God, let us endure with patience. And let us, O God, as we run this race, be faithful till the end, like Paul was, and said that I have fought a good fight. Lord, so as we come to the close of our lives, may we also say that same thing. We have run the race, we have kept the faith, and we have fought a good fight. And that we can hear thy commendation when we are when we meet you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So bless this time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I always remember that scene during the Olympics where we come to the last part of the Olympics in Athens, where this young man was running the marathon and he was coming to the end. And you notice there was a priest who just jumped out and stopped this young man from completing the race. But eventually you notice he finishes the race. And it taught me a great lesson that day that he was determined to finish even though there was obstacles for him. Even though there was a distraction there, he kept his eyes on the finish line. And as we are as Christians, many of us have to go through many difficulties in our own lives, through many trials and sufferings and tribulations sometimes. But do we really keep on looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Do we keep our eyes steadfast upon the Lord Jesus Christ to finish the race? Do we keep our eyes upon the finish line? And Paul, you notice the life of Paul is very life that you can really learn many lessons from his life. That even when he's coming, he always says, "I'm looking unto Jesus." He says, "I'm always pressing forward to reach for God." That in anything, all his tribulations and his imprisonments, wherever he was, Paul always glorified God. And he kept his eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Even when he was in the prison in Philippi, in the jail, there he was in his stocks, bound. And that night, you notice Paul there, rejoicing in the goodness of God, remembering the things that the saints have done for him in Philippi, and remembering all the good things that God had done for him. And there, he was rejoicing. And then we see how God intervened and loosened those stocks and brought the earthquake, and we know that story. But Paul kept his eyes on the Lord. Friends, today I urge you to do the same thing, to keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to set your affections on things of this world, but to set our affections on things above. That's what God wants us to do. And there you notice here, the first thing I want you to notice in the word race is R. It says reach forward with persistence. Reach forward with persistence. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. That was Paul's life. Yes, my friends, yes, only one person will win the race many a times in this world. But we are in a race that everyone can win. Because for every one of us, there is a crown of righteousness awaiting for you and for me. How are we running this race? Are we reaching forward? Many of us live in the past. We think about the past. As a physician, many times we have a lot of people who have psychological problems, you know, and I try to send them to the psychiatrist or the social workers. And the first thing, some of them will come back and say, "I don't want to go back because they want me to talk about my past." You know, many of us want to go back to the past. There's nothing we can do about our past. It's done. Let's move forward. Let's look unto the Lord Jesus Christ and reach forward for what He has for us. And let's not get us sidetracked. We spend much time dwelling on the things that have already happened. But my friends, let us emulate Paul like he did, to forget those things which are behind and press forward to God. And that's what I want you to take. My friends, that's what we need to do, is to look unto Jesus. Looking unto Him to keep our eyes fixated upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Many a times we see in the world today, the young people, they have many heroes. But sometimes you realize it's a failure for them. They look at people, they look at leaders. As I work at Camp Atterbury as a physician, taking care of soldiers who are going to Iraq and Afghanistan, Kosovo, in different parts where they're required, and as they return, many of them, when I talk out to them about the Lord Jesus Christ or to share the gospel with them, they always tell, well, my pastor did this, or I was to go to this church, but I was disappointed. And I always to remind them, my friends, when you look at man, they will fail you. They will disappoint you. We're all humans. Our leaders will disappoint us. Our parents can disappoint us. Our friends can disappoint us and fail us. Our pastors can disappoint and fail us. But Christ never fails. Christ never disappoints us. We need to look at Him. And how many of us take our eyes off the Lord? If we want to win the Christian race, Christians, we need to be persistent. We cannot have this roller coaster ride. Many of us do dieting. You know, how many of y'all do dieting? You know, we want to lose weight. I see that many times patients will come and say, I tried this diet, I couldn't. Then they get off the diet and gain 20 pounds, and then they lose 30 pounds and gain 60 pounds. You know, they go up on a roller coaster ride. You know, but that's not the way we have to run our Christian life. Our Christian life has to be persistent. It has to be on a steady pace till we win the race, till we complete the course that God has set for us. Let us be consistent. Let us lay aside every weight. The things that distract us, let us put aside. And let us keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be persistent in our Christian walk with God. In our time we spend with God, let us be consistent. In the Word of God, let us be consistent. In our needs, let us be consistent. You know, I was talking to some pastors one time, and they said, one of the pastors mentioned to me, he said, you'll be surprised, Dr. Shelley, that there are some pastors who have never finished reading the whole Bible through and through. What a shame. My friend, how can you stand up in a pulpit and preach the Word of God when you have not read it through? We need to be consistent in the Word of God. This is our spiritual food. We need to be fattened in the spiritual things of God. My father has read the Bible over 400 times. Oh, I think 500 times before he died. He went from cover to cover. He spent his time on knees, many hours together. My friends, we need people like that today. Men and women who are of the Word, who are on their knees praying. I heard about a man who would pray for requests that people have. He made a notebook. And there he would pray for all the requests that they had. It took him two and a half hours to finish praying for those people. And he did it faithfully every day. We need people like that, who are persistent in the things of God. I know we are living in a society that keeps us very busy, but do we take time for God? We say we are Christians. Do we spend time in the Word of God? Do we spend time in prayer, laying hold of God? But how easily we are distracted. We have to do this. We got to do that. We got to go here. We got to take care of the kids. You know, as a physician, sometimes I have mothers who come and say, Doc, I need something to cope with all the stress. And I say, what's going on? Well, my kids are in this, my kids are in that, and I have to go here. I have to pick them up from that. And I don't have time. We're too busy. Christians, we need to take some time into the Word of God. Spend some time on our knees. And be persistent in our Christian walk. That's what Paul was. We cannot be satisfied with our spiritual attainments. Paul was never satisfied. He always was striving
to please God, striving to be better, better, and better. And that's what our Christian walk to be. Not satisfied with what where we are in our Christian life, our Christian walk, but rather we need to be moving forward and trying to be like Christ. I know we won't be perfect in this world, but we need to strive. We need to be like Him. Then the second thing I want you to notice is the alphabet A. It says, apply yourself with a purpose. Apply yourself. That's what Paul said. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Philippians chapter 13 and verses 14. My friends, when you run this race, there is a direction and there is a determination. We have a direction to run the race. And that direction is towards God, to please Him, to honor Him, to win souls and serve God on this earth. Are we determined to do that? Are we willing to serve God no matter what the price is? No matter if you have been put in prison, no matter if you have been beaten for Christ, are we willing to stand for Christ? If you read that magazine, The Martyrs, Christian Martyrs, I don't know if any of you read. You see how Christians have been persecuted. The latest one I was reading the other day was looking about the Christians in Bangladesh where a pastor was cut on his face and burnt. And there those people are still being determined to win others for Christ. Still ready to take the gospel. Still baptizing people. No matter what the persecution was, no matter what the difficulty situation they were in, they're still determined to take the gospel to their people. My friends, are we willing? If persecution comes to the land of the United States of America, how many of us will be truly strong standing for the Word of God? We have not seen persecution like in the Middle East, in India, China, and other areas. We have not seen it here. But will we be able to be determined to stand for God? Paul was willing. Yeah, in the book of Corinthians you can read how he was persecuted, how he was beaten. And he tells you all those things. We need to have a purpose in our lives. Many of us Christians lack purpose. Then we just simply drift along aimlessly in this life. We just want to go with the flow, many of us. But are we determined to say, no, I'm going to stand for Christ. I'm going to take a stand for the Savior, no matter what it happens. You know, one of the soldiers came to me and he said, Dr. Chelly, I'm also a Christian. He said, I said, yes, I know you read the Bible too. And he said, yes, I've been noticing you. And there was one lady came out and she was upset with you. I said, for what? She said, because you told her to trust in the Lord. I don't know, but I'm just warning you. They may ask you to stop witnessing for the Lord. I said, so be it. But they will not stop me. If they don't want me to come back, that's fine. But I'll still tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to hear. And that's why I say, my friends, there are many, many young people today who have not heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. I always tell this about this incident that I've faced about a young soldier who was only 19 years old going to Iraq. He came into the office to be taken care of some flu-like symptoms, and he took out his shirt, and there on his abdomen was tattooed the word sinner in a big all across his abdomen. And I looked at it. I said, young man, I'm glad you recognize you're a sinner. You know where sinners go to. He said, yeah, I know, they go to hell. I said, that's where, are you sure you're going there? He said, yes, that's where I'm going to go and party with my friends. My friends, that young man does not have a concept about hell. He said, I'm going there, my friends are there, I'm going to go and party with them. I said, then I turned to him, I said, young man, I don't think you've read the Bible, did you? I said, hell is a place there where the fire is not quenched, the worm dieth not, there will be gnashing of teeth, and you will be tormented day and night. And that there's no more parting there, my friend. I said, the only way, I'm glad you recognize you're a sinner. Christ died for you. He shed His blood for you. If you trust Him, you have eternal life. He said, I heard about that, doc. But there are many today, even in this nation of ours, who are going to a Christless eternity. What are we doing about that? Young people are going. They have a wrong concept about church. There are many young soldiers that I've met throughout this 5 months who have heard the gospel, but who've been to church, but they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we determined to win them for Christ? There are a lot of young people, young soldiers, I see, who said, "Oh yes, I've heard about Christ." One man called me a Bible thumper. That's a new one. Bible thumper. He's called me a doc. "You're a Bible thumper, doc." I said, "Well, let me thump some sense into your head before you leave my office." I said, "You need to know about the Lord." I said, "You're going to a place that you may not come back. So what are you going to do about that?" He said, "I hear you, doc. My dad was a preacher. But I have a lot of questions about the Bible." But I said, "You may have questions, but one thing I can tell you, my friend, you're going to die and you're going to stand before the Almighty God and you need to make a decision." And there are my friends, are we really? There are many Christians who claim to be Christians but lack purpose in their lives. They just walk aimlessly. We need to advance the kingdom of God. My friends, we need to look to the future that will glorify God. We need to have a future. What is our future going to be like? What are we doing on this world? Where are we setting our affections? Where are we laying our treasures? You know, many of us are thinking of here and now. But soon, this life will pass away. My father, I talked to him at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. At 11:30, I got a call saying, "Dad's serious." And that when I was ready to leave and come to Greenville, I called my sister. They said, "You know, Dad had MI or a heart attack." And I said, "It was all done. My dad's in glory." I realized that, how quickly our lives can go. There are many young soldiers who go and don't return. Our life, it's very short. Where will we spend it? What are we doing about it? Our time is going. When we know our purpose in life, we need to know that it picks the greater picture that God has designed for eternity. God has designed. He has a purpose for each one of us. And do we fit that design? Do we fit in that puzzle that God has made for you and me? That God is using us for His glory? When we know our purpose, it gives meaning to our lives. When we know our purpose, we focus our lives. When we know our purpose, it motivates our lives. My friends, do we have a purpose to honor Him and glorify Him? The third thing our time is going is to conquer evil with God's power. Conquer evil with God's power. Romans 8:37 says, "And nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." We have the victory, friends. Many of us live a defeated life. Many times I hear soldiers who smoke say, "I can't quit smoking." I say, "It's all in your head. You can. It's just you need to be determined to do it." I've seen people come with acupuncture, who have done hypnosis, who have done everything to quit smoking. But the most successful I've seen is people who just threw the cigarette box away and walked away from it and never touched it again. Conquer evil. Today, we're filled with sin and evil, and Satan is constantly bombarding us and trying to defeat us in the work of God. But God has given us the victory. Amen? He has completed it on the cross, and we are victors. It's a matter of time. We will know that He will come down one day as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. He's a King of Kings. Friends, the victory is already won. We just have to live like victors and not defeated and worried and succumb to the things of this world. Let us live for God. Let us honor Him. We can win this race with divine strength through prayer, to be strengthened by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and to claim the promises of God.
The last thing I want you to notice is E stands for endure hardness as a good soldier. Endurance till the end. Endure hardness with patience. My friends, some of us think we want to go to heaven on a flowery, rosy bed. It's not going to happen. We're going to face persecution. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. The world will hate you because it hated me. You're going to face persecutions and trials. And we're going to face those things. Are we going to be patient through those trials?
When the storms of life hit us, and as we are there, are we going to wait patiently to see how God will get us through those things?
Many times when we have to come through difficult times in our lives, we run everywhere. You see the world people running everywhere to find some kind of peace and happiness. They find counselor, they find everything like that. They go to different places. But as Christians, remember, the Master is always with you. Even when that great story you see in the passage of Scripture where the Lord Jesus Christ, when the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee and the storm raged, and there the Savior was sleeping, and then they go to Him and say, "Sir, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And the Lord Jesus Christ looked at them, "Why are you worried? I'm with you." And He just comes out and He calms the seas. He calms the waves. He calms the winds. My friends, this Master is with us on the ship. You will not sink. Just keep your faith up. Keep looking to the Lord. He will get you through that storm. Yes, the disciples thought they were going to perish. But in the end, they saw the hand of God. As we wait patiently on our knees in His Word, as the storms of life come, He will see us through that stormy night. I know many of us go through many difficulties, but be patient. When there's trials and we are patient, we're going to endure. Yes, the soldiers spend a lot of time training. Why? You know, there's a course called FOB. I don't know what it stands for. The army has too many things that I can't remember. And they're out there 24 hours of the day, out in the field. No water. They only are limited to drink only so much water. They're only limited so many times to take a shower in the day, in a week. And they're limited how many times they can go to the bathroom. Why? So they can endure the battle situations. They can endure. And they're trained. My friends, the same way we need to endure as we go around this course. To be well trained, well equipped to finish the course. Let us be well equipped. I know you have given much. I know that this country has much in the Word of God. You're richly blessed. Use it for the glory of God. Take it to the lost world. Take it to your neighborhoods. Take it to the people who are perishing and going through a Christless eternity. That's what God is. And let us endure till the end. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, God, we have a race that is set before us. Help us to finish it with determination. Help us to have a purpose in our lives that when we are done, we can say, we can hear Your words and say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.